Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is our State Capitol Report. We will welcome in 4 different lawmakers during this State Capitol Report, and they will weigh in on the various bills that were taken up by the state legislature during this just concluded fall session. Plus, we'll get reaction to Governor Walker's call for a special legislative session to extend the deadline for moving people off Badger Care. And we will welcome your input, your questions, your reactions to what the state legislature did and didn't do during this fall session. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest lawmaker is State Senator Glenn Grothman. He's a Republican state senator from West Bend and the Assistant Majority Leader in the State Senate. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, you know, we just heard a story in state news that there are groups urging Governor Walker to veto a bill that would make it harder for school districts to drop a Native American nickname or mascot. What do you think the governor should do with that bill? Should he sign it or should he veto it, and why?
Of course he should sign it. I think what we have here is we have people pretending that a crisis exists that doesn't. At least until a few years ago, polls show an overwhelming majority of Native Americans liked Indian nicknames. And I don't think any serious, honest person out there believes anybody came up with an Indian nickname to insult Indians. Of course, it was to honor Indians because they were perceived to be self-reliant, brave, that sort of thing. That's why they're Indian. That's why they have the nicknames in the first place. And I think for Governor Walker to veto that bill would be to insult the members of the communities that named their high school football teams or whatever.
What do you say, though, Senator Grothman, too? That, you know, these are Native American groups that are telling him to veto it because they think it's discriminatory, stereotypical, that it's not just offensive but hurtful.
I think, as frequently happens in our society, the leaders of the group aren't in touch with the grassroots. And I mean, what's happened, a lot of, I guess I'll call them people who want division in our society, have apparently done a good job of persuading a few leaders, or so-called leaders, that this has been hurtful or stereotypical. But again, I think the polls that I've seen, when you talk to the average Native American, they do not feel that way. And of course, it's not. I heard of a couple of years ago from a Native American who wanted to make sure we kept a nickname Warriors in my district because they were proud of the nickname. They thought it was a great thing when they went to school. He wanted to have his daughter be a warrior as well.
Let me ask you about another issue that I know that you're actually a little bit concerned about. The legislature approved a tax break for rehabbing historic buildings, and the governor's office says that Governor Walker will sign this bill that would provide this tax break. You voted against this. Why?
Oh, well, I think it's too generous, so your listeners are aware. Right now on a federal level, you get a credit equal to 25% of your costs if you rehab an old building. And a credit is really just like cash. Now, the state is increasing a credit from 5% before this year began to 20%. So that's a total of 40% that the government pays for if you rehab an old building. And, of course, you keep the building. I think the idea that you go to some, could be a very wealthy developer, and say, we will pay for 40% of the cost of your building, and this could be just the start. You could have a local unit of government give them cash from a TIF district as well. It's a little bit too much of a gift, a ridiculous gift. I mean, there was a time in the relatively recent past where people paid for all their own building. And if I would buy a house, I would pay for all of my own building. The idea that you go to a real estate developer and say the government's going to pay for over 40% of your building, but you keep all the building, is, to me, a giveaway. I like rich people, but it's just a big giveaway to some wealthy property developers, and it seems to me inappropriate. How can I look, say, a guy in the district who's paid for his own restaurant. And when I have voted, in essence, for a bill, that I'm paying for 40% of some other guy's restaurant. Just not right.
Well, the supporters of this bill say that this bill puts Wisconsin in line with other states surrounding Wisconsin, and even call it a jobs bill. What about that?
Well, I think if you're going to pay for 40% of anything, whether you're going to pay for 40% of some guy's TV or 40% of some guy's car, you're going to sell more of those things. And I think when you begin to say we're going to pay 40% of what winds up being little malls, or, you know, 40%, you're going to get more economic activity. But we could pay for 40%, say, of a manufacturing facility, I suppose, and we get more things going on. As far as competition, really what they're doing is they're competing against other economic development in the state, and you're going to have more new economic development go this route, in which the government is paying for 40%, as opposed to the old-fashioned way of doing economic development, which is to have the private sector pay for 100%.
So,
I don't know how you can justify it, Joy. I mean, I think the proponents, which were some proponents of downtowns, as well as the property developers themselves, did a good job. But you got to step back, Joy. If you were in the legislature and somebody said, I will, you know, rehab an old building or do this wonderful thing if the government will pay for 40%, is that right? Or are you just been taken for a ride?
So what's your message to Governor Walker on this bill?
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to write him a letter and maybe point out things that if he does sign, he'll want to come back and change in the near future.
What else happened in the state legislature, in the state Senate, that you think was good this fall session?
Well, we had some good things move through there. I think the highlight, of course, this fall session was we put more money into schools, and that was a practical matter. It's going to result in a slight reduction in property tax. It's a good thing because when you look at it all together, all 3 years that Governor Walker has been governor, we have had a situation which the average house, it doesn't mean every house, but the average house in the state of Wisconsin has a reduction in property taxes. And, you know, if you go back, it's been quite a while since something like that happened in the past, much less 3 years in a row. You might have to go back to like the 40s or 60s in order to get that again. And when you consider this is at a time when the economy is not doing well, when I'm sure other states are tempted to say, let's let the local units of government raise property tax, I think that's an incredibly significant thing. You know, lower taxes correlate with economic development. Not to mention it's just good that the individual is not forced to pay quite as much to stay in their house. I think it's particularly a great thing for seniors. It's a great thing for young couples with children. But I think it's the signature accomplishment of Governor Walker's first 3 years that he's held the line on taxes.
Senate Republicans opted not take up a couple of anti-abortion bills after Democrat Senator John Erpenbach said there would be all-out hell if they came to the floor. What happened there?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what happened. It was obviously a little bit disappointing, but in the state Senate we have 18 members, so if two members are going to vote against the bill or don't want a bill brought to the floor, it's not going to pass. And, of course, the Democrat Party is not really a thinking party. You know, they don't, it's become a very extreme party. They're not willing to ever break ranks and usually all 15 Democrats hold together. So it creates a situation in which if the Republican Party does not almost all vote together, a bill does not move. Now let's look at one of those, the type of things that is going to cause the Democrats to say all hell is going to break loose. One of those bills said we can't have sex selective abortions. And sadly, particularly among some of our immigrant groups, they will do testing, and if a little baby is going to be a girl, they abort that baby. That's particularly true if you get to the, let's say, third birth, and you've got a family with two girls. They find out they're going to have the third girl, they abort the baby. That's not the American way of doing things. All abortions are horrible. And this idea of murdering the third child, if it's a girl, is horrific. I realize all the Democrats would have stuck together and screamed about that bill and said you should be able to murder that child. I think it's offensive that the Democrats did that. Apparently, a couple of Republicans may were getting cold feet. The other bill said two things. First of all, it said that you don't have to pay for, we shouldn't be paying for abortions with a state health care plan. I mean, about half of the state, maybe even a little more than half the state, believes abortion is very wrong. Now, I know the Democrats are, again, a party of lockstep. If I think this way, everybody must think this way. But I think it's unfortunate the Democrats screamed so much about forcing or creating a situation in which Wisconsin citizens could be forced to pay for abortions. The other thing came down to religious freedom. And I know the Democrats aren't big on religion, but the Catholic Church and other churches as well do not like to have to pay for contraception in the health insurance plans that they purchase. And I think I think it's just offensive that the Democrats, apparently every one of the 15 was prepared to tell the Catholic Church, some of these small independent churches, if you're going to offer health insurance, we're going to force you to pay for contraceptive. That intolerance to me is not the American way, but I know the Democrats would have done all they could to force and, you know, force these churches to pay for something that they regard as a sin.
In our final minute with you, Governor Walker is calling a special legislative session to deal with Badger Care. He wants to push back the deadline by 3 months to give those 77,000 people to get them onto the federal exchanges. What do you think is the best way to move on this?
Well, I think it's very compassionate for Governor Walker to do it. It's really not, it shouldn't be necessary. I mean, we put together our budget based on a pledge that the Obama administration would get this right. They've had over 3 years to put this thing together. I guess if we have to do it for 3 years, for 3 months, that's okay. I hope it's the last time, though, and that people, if you were one of the people who's going to have your insurance canceled by the state of Wisconsin, you should be calling Tammy Baldwin and say, look, you made this promise, you made this commitment, either get rid of Obamacare, and then we know we've got to extend these programs, or get your act together and get it right. Now, I think ultimately Obamacare is going to be a complete train wreck. We've seen it in so many ways, but I think the important thing here is to tell Tammy Baldwin and the other Democrat legislators that you want to keep your old policies and that Obamacare doesn't work.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from West Bend and the Assistant Majority Leader. We will talk with another state lawmaker in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Monday, November 18th. We welcome in another state lawmaker as we are getting different state lawmakers to weigh in on the various bills taken up by the state legislature in its just concluded fall session. Our next guest lawmaker is Jocasta Zamarripa, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee and Assembly Minority Caucus Vice Chairperson. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So we just heard from Senator Glenn Grothman reacting to Governor Walker calling for a special legislative session to extend the deadline for those on Badger Care to get on to the federal exchanges. What's your response to the governor's request?
It's largely a political move for him, as it always was, just like when he rejected the expansion of Badger Care, which would have helped out thousands of Wisconsinites to keep their health care and help us move into the new Affordable Care Act in the new year. But while at the same time, of course, we have to, I'm happy to go into special session if we need to make it easier for him. It is largely a political posturing, in my opinion.
I know that you're not a big fan of the various changes in election law that passed the Assembly last week. Maybe we can go through them one by one quickly, though, since we have a news break coming up. Starting with voter ID, why did you vote against this modified voter ID bill?
I know we don't have a lot of time, and they passed a ton of bills to lower voter turnout in Wisconsin, but the voter ID bill was probably one of the most offensive because we still don't know the outcome of the court cases. In fact, the federal trial was simultaneously going on at the same time that the Republicans were trying to push through yet another version of voter ID, and it's because they know that the law that they passed last session was is going to be found unconstitutional. It's why it's been blocked pretty much from the onset.
Mm-hmm. What about limiting the hours for in-person absentee voting?
Probably the second most offensive of their election bills, Joy. This one will limit early voting here in Wisconsin, early in-person absentee voting, for really no reason at all. They just could not justify it. Eliminates completely early voting on the weekends and limits the hours during the week as well. They talked about it standardizing voting across the state, and then they completely contradicted themselves because they passed an amendment that would that actually would make things different for smaller communities that have clerks that don't work full time. So right there just made them look like, I mean, essentially contradictory and a bit hypocritical.
The Assembly also passed a bill making it harder to recall elected officials. Is it too easy right now to recall somebody from office?
Well, it's a people's right. You know, it's your right, Joy. It's Wisconsinites' right to recall their elected officials if that is their will. And they certainly have to go through a process of collecting signatures and the like to change this process, not just for folks like Governor Walker, if there was another governor or governor they wanted to recall, or for myself, but also they passed a second bill that I called kind of the baby brother of this recall bill that would also make it easier to recall their local, any local electeds like alder or school board director. So they certainly want to make it much harder for the people to be able to, enact their rights.
And I believe both houses passed a proposed constitutional amendment that would have the state Supreme Court justices pick the chief justice instead of that duty going to the most senior member. It would have to go through another session of the legislature and a referendum before the people before that would change. But how do you feel about this legislation?
That one was certainly pinpointed at getting rid of our... That was certainly because the Republicans just don't like our Supreme Court Justice Shirley Abrahamson. And so that one as well was just another kind of just unbelievable. You're doing this because, you know, you don't like the current Supreme Court Justice and the next one in line after her as well they don't like. So they want to change a process that's been in place for many years that has been working fine, and they want to just politicize that branch of our government, and I think that that's a big mistake.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened in the Assembly on Thursday, or I guess the wee hours of Thursday morning, regarding the anti-abortion license plates, the Choose Life license plates. There was an agreement, we understand, that this bill would not be taken up, but then the Republicans did bring it up anyway. What happened?
Yeah, we, because of time, there was a lot of bills on the calendar. Our leader, Representative Barker, and assistant leader, Representative Sandy Pasch, had negotiated, that we wouldn't bring up the license plates bills, that the, Choose Life bill would not come up. And, as the hours got late and we were, the time was going long, apparently the speaker just got upset, and for various reasons that I'm told as well, because one of our members tweeted something that upset the Republicans, they kind of did it in a vindictive way and said, bring up the bill, bring up the Choose Life bill. So I'm still unclear what tweet upset them so much, but I'm told it's just simply because we were aggravating them because we were going late into the night. But I mean, there was many, many bills on the docket, and that only made us go longer than when they decided to bring up that bill.
Did the state legislature during this fall session, the state assembly, that's where your house, did it do anything that you think was good?
No, it was unnecessary to bring up a divisive bill that does nothing to create jobs whatsoever. I just don't understand. Apparently it was for their base, but to me, the message of the day for the last day of session was to send a message to the people of Wisconsin that you basically don't matter. The priorities of the people don't matter. Your input doesn't matter. And with all of the election bills on the docket, definitely their votes don't matter.
Yeah. In our final minute, I just wondered, not besides that that Choose Life situation, do you feel as though the assembly accomplished anything this fall session?
Well, I think that where we should have been focused on creating jobs, it seemed like, especially in the last day of session, the Republican-led assembly was focused on lowering the vote. And I think it was it's going to be detrimental to the state, and we should have been focused on creating jobs as the session wrapped up. And I just cannot believe the number of election-related bills that were passed that will lower voter turnout in our great state.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jocasta Zamarripa is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and the Assembly Minority Caucus vice chairperson. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we will welcome in a couple of other lawmakers in our second half hour of this State Capitol Report, State Representative Bill Kramer and State Senator Dave Hansen. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Monday, November 18th. We are talking with different state lawmakers weighing in on various bills that were taken up in the fall session of the state legislature, which concluded last week, plus getting reaction to Governor Walker's call for a special legislative session to extend the deadline for moving people off of Badger Care. And we welcome your input. We welcome your questions and reactions to what the state legislature did or didn't do at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. In our first half hour, we heard from Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman and Democratic State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa. In this half hour, we will hear later in the half hour from Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen, and right now, Bill Kramer, Republican State Representative from Waukesha and the Assembly Majority Leader. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, let me ask you first about the special session that Governor Walker is calling for. He wants to delay the deadline to move 77,000 people that are on Badger Care now. Do you support his call to delay that deadline?
Well, absolutely. I think with the trouble that they're having at the federal level, all the pieces have to fall together, and we have fewer people uninsured in Wisconsin. Well, the pieces aren't falling together, so we have to take some legislative action to make sure that more people are insured, and we're following through on our promises.
Yeah, the governor was saying push back the deadline by 3 months. Senator Fitzgerald was saying that he'd be more likely to go along with this if it was done on a month-to-month basis. Do you have a preference?
Well, I think both houses are going to have to work together with the governor and come to a solution. What the best answer is right now, I couldn't tell you because this was all new to us as of Thursday.
Yeah. Well, we just heard from Representative Zamarripa, who was not happy with the assembly action on various election reforms, including the bill that would require voters to show a photo ID. This is a modified version, not the one that is held up in the courts right now. It's apparently not going to be taken up in the Senate because Senator Fitzgerald says he wants to see how current law does play out in court. So why did the assembly decide to pass this new bill?
Well, I think, number one, I think it's interesting that the folks, my friends on the other side of the aisle, are so dead set against this bill. It was almost like they were debating the original photo ID again, because this bill actually expands who can vote without a photo ID. This makes it, this should be a lot more to their liking, I would think. And as far as, you know, why we would take it up when the Senate says they probably won't, well, we're two independent houses, and, you know, we believe it's the right thing to do and not rely on answers from the courts, especially when, one of the judges in question is Lynn Edelman, and you can almost guess which way that's going to go. So,
the Democrats, if I recall, were saying that this new photo ID bill would essentially require a voter without a photo ID to say, "I am poor, I can't afford a photo ID." Or I couldn't, I couldn't afford the to get to a place to get a photo ID or to get my birth certificate, and then they could vote, but it would be provisionally, and it wouldn't, their vote wouldn't count unless it would not be they would be treated differently.
Well, my friends from the other side of the aisle are wrong. There are a number of reasons why. From this bill that you would not need a photo ID, and all you have to do is sign an affidavit, which is something they were looking for when we passed the original photo ID bill. And, you know, as long as it covers any one of the, you know, exceptions, I mean, like, you can't get to your birth certificate. Okay, I don't know that signing something that says you can't get to your birth certificate is the same as saying I'm poor.
Another bill that was passed by the Assembly would establish uniform in-person absentee voting hours, and it would limit those hours in terms of right now Madison and Milwaukee. Some cities allow weekend voting and later into the evening. Yeah. So why does Wisconsin need uniform in-person absentee voting hours?
Well, is it fair for people who live in Milwaukee, Madison, and Waukesha to be able to vote, you know, basically for 3 weeks straight, you know, including nights and weekends, where in some of our municipalities we have part-time clerks and they have real jobs besides? So you could do like 2 extra hours a day. I mean, is that fair?
Why is it unfair?
You think it's fair that some parts of the state have 10 hours a week and other parts of the state have 90 hours a week? I think that's the question.
But why is that? I'm asking, why is that unfair that Madison and Milwaukee and Waukesha can do weekend voting and smaller towns can't?
I think it's inherently unfair when some places get, obviously there's a big difference between doing 100 hours a week and maybe being able to do 10. I think that's a huge difference and a huge unfairness.
Yeah, a listener on Twitter says, cutting voting hours, I will have to take off work to get at the polls. I work mandatory overtime, 10 hours a day, 30-minute commute. Isn't this a poll tax?
Yeah. I don't believe it's a poll tax, and I don't believe somebody's going to have to take off work. I mean, I vote on election day, so.
Yeah. What about bill that would...
Does this person actually work seven...
I don't know. I'm just reading the tweet. Yeah, I mean, some people say that if the in-person... The in-person absentee voting hours typically went, past 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and now I believe they don't with this new bill.
So
right?
It goes past 5 because it goes till 6.
Okay. Well, I'm just reading the tweet. The tweet said that.
Yeah.
So what about this bill? Why should the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court be chosen by the court itself instead of going to the member who's been there the longest? That proposed constitutional amendment passed both houses.
I don't believe in any situation the person with the most tenure is the most qualified. Blanket statement.
There's 5 states
in the country who do it by tenure. And there's, you know, 20-some who do it by election, it just, you know, it seems reasonable to me that if you want a smooth-running operation, that you would get the person in place that the most members of the body would be looking forward to working with. I mean, if we did that in the Assembly, the Speaker of the Assembly would be Al Ott, and the Minority Leader would be Leon Young. Does that make sense to most people?
What's your response to Representative Zamarripa, who said that this was because Republicans don't like Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson?
She can say whatever she wants. That's not the answer.
There was also action taken on license plates and a license plate that says "Choose Life" being offered. Apparently, there was a bipartisan deal that this was not going to be taken up, but Republicans reportedly broke that off after getting mad at Democrats over something. What happened?
There were a number of things that were happening. I mean, right away, as soon as we announced that deal within our two caucuses, you had a member of the Democrat caucus sending out a tweet and taking a victory lap. I mean, that's it's not very likely that a deal is going to stand when the other side is basically poking you in the eye for making that deal. But that wasn't that. That was the first straw. That wasn't the one that broke the camel's back. But then, even though that time was tight, the Democrats spent 2 hours on pulling motions of bills that they knew weren't going to go anywhere. And then they spent another hour talking about how we're doing things in the dead of night, partly because we had a full calendar, partly because the sun goes down a lot earlier in November than it does in April, and partly because they had spent so much time wasting time. And then they went as far as to adjourn. I don't understand how if you adjourn, you're following through on your half of the deal. Because the deal was to do it Thursday. So had they adjourned, they wouldn't have done it Thursday. They were just playing a whole lot more games than we were willing to put up with. That's all.
Since we have limited time, let me move on to another issue. Both the Assembly and the Senate passed a bill restricting access to public land around the iron mine site in northern Wisconsin. Why should Governor Walker sign this bill?
Well, because of what we've seen going on up at the mine site, these people need to know that they're safe as they're doing their work and doing their testing that needs to be done. Up on the mine site.
Some Native American groups have sent Governor Walker letters urging him to veto a bill that is on his desk that was passed by the Assembly and the Senate that would make it harder for a school district to be forced to drop a Native American nickname or mascot. Why should he sign this bill?
Because we can't go through life having to change everything we do because one person complains and is offended. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say you have the right not to be offended.
What about Native Americans who say that this is not just being offended, but that it's racist and discriminatory?
Well, I don't. If you've ever gone to a Maquonago sporting event, you know that they are 100% behind their Indian mascot name. They are not doing it as a pejorative. They're doing it out of respect. I mean, their newspaper is called The Chief, for God's sake. I mean, it's not like, you know, you don't pick a nickname for your team to make fun of it.
Let me take
maybe you're the Scottsdale Community College fighting avocados, but.
We had a caller who said he was from northern Wisconsin, and he says Native children are still being called racist names when they go to school. Mascot names are just adding to this problem, therefore.
So the name Indian in Maquonago is making people more racist to Native American children up north. I find that hard to believe.
You know, we have some callers, but we don't have enough time to take them for you since we're going to let you go in just a minute or two. Was there, Representative Kramer, something that you are particularly proud of that the Assembly passed this session?
This session? I'm really proud of the billion-dollar tax cuts.
Yeah,
if our state's going to be competitive with the rest of with our neighbors, with the rest of the country, and with the world, we have to get our tax system, our taxation, our regulation, and our litigation in line with those with whom we're competing. And even with that tax cut, we're not out of the top 10 most taxed states in the country.
And are you disappointed that something did not pass?
There's always things that you wish you could get done, and whether it be the fact that the governor wouldn't sign it, or that the Senate wouldn't take it up, or that that I couldn't get agreement in my caucus. I mean, there's always things that don't get done.
So
but then we still have January, February, March to come back and do more.
And we'll talk to you again then, I'm sure. Thanks very much for being with us.
You bet. Happy holidays.
You too. Bill Kramer, Republican State Representative from Waukesha and the Assembly Majority Leader. We will welcome in Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen after this short break. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. Welcoming in now Dave Hansen, Democratic State Senator from Green Bay and the Assistant Minority Leader. Good morning, Senator Hansen.
Good morning, Joy. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, it's good to have you on. Well, what do you make of Governor Walker's proposal to delay for 3 months the deadline for moving people from Badger Care to the federal health insurance exchanges? He's calling a special session for this.
Well, it's a Band-Aid. You know, if he'd have accepted the 100% payment for Medicaid expansion in 2014, 15, and 16, he wouldn't have to be scurrying to try to help the 70,000 people. So he gave away about many millions of dollars and is actually going to be taking care of less people, and it's cost the state more money. It made no sense. It's probably the most ridiculous thing he did, and it was about public political ideology, I believe.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about a number of bills, and we do have limited time. Let me ask about the Senate passing this bill restricting access to public land around the iron mine site in northern Wisconsin. The Assembly did follow suit, and this is now going to Governor Walker. Should the governor sign this or not, and why?
No, this is catering to one company, GTAC, at the expense of, you know, the people that want to hunt and fish. It's an overreaction to maybe one incident. What they're doing is wrong, and treating them and giving them a break in their payment for managed forest land, again, is a huge mistake.
Now, what about the Indian mascot bill, the bill that would make it harder for school districts to drop a Native American mascot or nickname? The governor hasn't signed this yet. He's getting letters now from Native American groups telling him to veto it. What should he do?
Well, 11 tribes are against it. I've been very supportive of the current bill, not the bill they're trying to put in place, because this would make it impossible to ever change an Indian mascot name, and I think it's just wrong.
How do you feel about all the election law changes the Assembly passed last week, including a statewide standard for in-person early absentee voting?
You know, whatever they've done, it is totally about voter suppression. You know, there's so little voter fraud, and it's documented there's so little. Whatever they're doing, they're trying to restrict the vote from people that generally don't vote for them. So it's a sad day when they're doing this. We were like first or second in turnout per capita, and what they're doing is just wrong. They're using it as an excuse, but what it is about is to restrict the vote, and I'm very disappointed in the direction they're taking, and I'm hoping the Senate doesn't take it up.
Well, what about the recall election reform that was passed by the State Assembly? The bill would make it harder to recall an elected official, which you have personal experience with.
I was the first one to be recalled, and we were successful, and I don't think it's going to happen a real lot. You know, I haven't had a chance to read their current bill, But it is in the, you know, one of the rules that we've had forever, and you got to take a serious look at that. If somebody's doing something that's wrong and the public feels that way, then they should have their say.
Your Democratic colleague in the Senate, John Erpenbach, had said there would be all-out hell if Senate Republicans took up a couple of anti-abortion bills last week or so. They did not. Do you expect these bills to come up later?
It'll be hard to tell. You know, there seems to have been a general attack on women's health, and instead of trying time to what they're doing is forcing women to have invasive medical procedures and everything else that they're doing. You know, these type of stopping women's rights and the pro-choice argument is not right in our state. It's an overreaction to whatever. And you must note that Roe versus Wade is still the law of the land. And I don't think it's worked well in other states, and I don't think Governor Walker wants to be known as, you know, the governor that pushed this kind of legislation through and signed it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. They didn't want to take it up now. They wanted to do less, divide and conquer, and move our state forward instead.
The Assembly also passed these Choose Life license plates. Do you think the state needs those?
I don't think they need that. It would be interesting to see where that money's going. It reminds me of what happened with the United Sportsmen's Group. And again, is this political payback? We've seen a lot of that and probably way too much of that.
Well, Senator Hansen, do you think that the legislature in this fall session did anything good?
You know, we should have been concentrating on jobs. There's been way too much extreme agenda, social engineering, continuing the attack on public schools, expanding statewide vouchers as they did in the budget. And we're still one of the worst states in job creation. I would have preferred them take up a couple of my bills, which would reform the redistricting process, and a bill that I think is very, very popular statewide, higher ed, lower debt, which is a huge problem for a lot of students coming out of college.
Very briefly, what would that bill do?
It would allow them to refinance. When you do a mortgage or a car payment, you can refinance, but generally speaking, when you're locked into a loan for 18 to 20 years with $27,000 of debt, and paying 8%, 9%, or 6% even, you have no ability to refinance. And I think that's just plain wrong. And it seemed like the Republicans are interested, but they won't give us a committee hearing on either of those two bills.
All right. Well, not state legislation, but you're one of the biggest Packer fans I know, Senator Hansen. Are you writing them off for the season?
I'm struggling a lot, but I'm keep the hope. We play the Vikings on Sunday. Got to get a win. We're not that far away. Get Aaron healthy and play with a little bit more effort and energy. And I think Tremont Williams played well yesterday, but it's hard to see that not too many others did.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Thanks very much for being with us.
And go Badgers as well.
Yeah, go Badgers too. Dave Hansen, Democratic State Senator from Green Bay and Assistant Minority Leader. Well, thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this show. Thanks to all of our state lawmakers who joined us. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.